we have in your house tonight. I pray it be productive. I pray you'd be in it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I am going to do something different tonight. I am a bishop in the Church of God and fully accountable to the Almighty. And boy, do I ever know it. And I know it far more than I did when I first came to the church. I came here, I've been saved 3 years, folks. 3 years. Got saved in 73, came here in 76. Greener than that grass. And I guess the Almighty saw fit to put me here. That's not normally the way he does things. You don't normally put a novice into something like that with that kind of responsibility. But I'm sure that he had his reasons. And that was 49 years ago. I've learned a few things in 49 years. I want to talk to you tonight. I want you to turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 15. Galatians 5:15. When I first got saved, there's certain books of the Bible I wouldn't even touch. They were just beyond me. Hebrews was one. I stayed out of Hebrews for a long time. And the same with the book of Revelation. Couldn't handle it. In the book of Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 15, Scripture says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Father, bless this holy book. I need wisdom from thee tonight, Lord. Help me say the right things. I know I must give an account. I know I'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Amen. I've prayed a lot about this. Right now, in this church, there's probably five or six different issues going on. Some of them totally unrelated. Totally unrelated. But this is not unique. We're not really that much different from any church. All churches got problems. They're going to have problems. It's going to be. We say, how you know they're going to have problems? They got people. I got a thing the other day. This fellow, I guess I assume it to be a man, he commented underneath one of the messages. I forget which one it was, but he said, "Me saint, you sinner," and that was a reference apparently to me, and to the ones I was preaching to. And I'll have to quote Tonto. Tonto says, "Him speak with forked tongue, Kimosabe." I don't know if you know much about it, but I grew up watching Lone Ranger. And I've been watching some of the old Lone Ranger movies. And I'm utterly surprised at all the preaching that goes on. Scripture quoting. I have never heard the first blasphemous word. There's no flesh in it, so if you're looking for flesh, forget the Lone Ranger. And they're teaching object lessons. They're teaching the things that build character. I thought to myself, that's quite a thing. Now, back in the 50s, it started in 49 and ended in 56. Lone Ranger did, as far as I know. And it was in color. Color. And I remember when color came into Knoxville, color television started in Knoxville. I remember we only had two TV stations. And they added Channel 26, and you had to get a different antenna. It was different. It was UHF, I think. VHF, then UHF, ultra high frequency. And so they announced, well, today color starts on your TV. And our TV was about this big, about, I don't know, 15 inches, something like that. And so when color started, I tuned the TV in. I looked at it, and I thought, well, there's no color on this thing. I couldn't get any color on the TV. And I kept thinking, where's the color at? Well, it wasn't a color television. It was a black and white TV. I don't know if they still make black and white TVs. But back then, you had to pay extra to get a color television. Everybody didn't have a television back then. My wife said that they didn't have one. They walked down ball camp pack, two or three houses down the rows, and somebody down in there had a TV, and they'd go down there and watch the TV in their home. That's the way things were back then. Yeah, people didn't take for granted what they take for granted today. So I speak to him. I say to him tonight, he has a forked tongue. Yes, he does. The Indian had a good way of expressing himself about certain things. The tongue's a problem. It's an unruly evil. There are issues going on at Temple, and Satan is trying to destroy this church, and he's trying to destroy my ministry. And I know it. I know when I'm under assault. I've always said many times that a pastor lives in a pressure cooker and a fishbowl. That's right. That's where he lives. Well, I've gotten used to it now. It's been 49 years of pressure cooker and a fishbowl. Sometimes the temperature's turned up, though, in the pressure cooker. Sometimes it gets a little hotter than you like. I'd like to see God bless Temple, and he has blessed us. He's continuing to bless us. I think he's going to bless us more. We've got to deal with some things, though. The scripture says in Luke chapter 17, verse number 4, if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. All right, seven times, seven. We learned the multiplication tables when I went to high school. Do they teach the multiplication tables anymore? I don't think they do. Yeah. So you are commanded to forgive. If someone asks for forgiveness, then you should forgive. Bear this in mind, folks. If God has forgiven someone for something and you refuse to forgive them, the issue is no longer between you and that person. The issue is between you and God. Yes, it is. The issue is between you and God. A man gave me a gift one time. He wrote me a letter and he said he wanted the gift back. Yeah. We used to call them Indian givers when I was a kid. I don't want to throw off on the poor Indians tonight. I wrote him back and I said, you didn't give me a gift, you gave me your word. Now, can you think into that? When you give someone something, it's not the gift you're giving. You're giving it from yourself. It just, the gift itself, whatever it is, it just happens to be what it is. You're giving your word. Your word is an extension of your character. By thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. Mark chapter 11, verse 26, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. That's tough stuff, isn't it? Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. And I watch the way the apostle does this, lest thou also be tempted. What you're doing, you're getting into heavy-duty spiritual things in the issue of forgiveness. And if you're not able to forgive, you have opened yourself up for possession of the devil because you have weakened your spiritual life. Yes, sir. I was looking the other day, these six things that the Lord hates, seven abomination to him. That's in the book of Proverbs, isn't it? Proverbs 6. Turn over there with me. I'm just pulling this off the top of my head. Proverbs 6. Isn't that it? Yeah, here it is. Proverbs 6:16. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Now look what he starts with. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. I doubt if he has much use for abortions, do you? An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Notice how that speaking is so many times mentioned in many different ways here. But you know, I'd been through this thing so many times down through the years, And it just hit me the other day, and I don't think anything just hits you. God pointed something out to me that I had never seen in it before. Do you know what's missing in here? No sexual sins. Not a one. Not a one. All of these sins are spiritual things, not fleshly. They have to do with your character, what you're made out of, who you are. If you have a desire tonight to hurt somebody, I don't care how loud you can shout. I don't hear how well you can sing. I don't hear who you can teach. You're the greatest thing in the world. You got a problem if you want to hurt somebody. And did you know you can hurt them with your tongue far more than you can hurt them another way? And to sow discord among the brethren is that you're trying to turn one person against another. You must take, some folks must take special glee in that. They must enjoy that, sowing discord among the brethren. That's a horrible thing. You got to keep this in mind. Anybody that'll listen to gossip is a gossiper themselves. So when you unload on them, be careful, because they'll turn around and unload on you to somebody else. And out it goes. This old boy in 1 Corinthians that had his father's wife, that's a hideous thing, don't you think? Now, we don't know. Most preaching, and I've preached it both ways. One was that it was his biological mother, and the other a stepmother. I like to believe a stepmother. But in any event, the apostle condemned him. He didn't fool with him. But over here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 6, I want you to notice something that's a lot of times it's overlooked and never mentioned. And a lot of people believe that this is direct reference back to this man that had his father's wife. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 6, you know, the apostle said, turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. Well, now look at this thing. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. That makes it sound like the church had turned on him, didn't it? So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient to all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, a lot of people, you know, they would never get off into the sexual sins. And because you don't, you feel like that you're living a pretty good life. But you are a gossiper, or you are a character assassin. That's tough stuff, because that'll bring you down. It'll bring you down real bad, real low, real hard. James said in chapter 3, verse 14, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Wisdom which is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. When we live with each other, we come to church with each other, we get to know each other. And we get to know each other. The longer we come to church, the longer we know each other, the more we know each other. And that poses a problem. We either choose to work with each other, serve the Lord, you know, and put aside petty things. There may be personality conflicts. That happens. It happens. Sure it does. And other things. But the more you mature in the Lord, you realize that we're not all the same. And the truth of the matter is, God uses certain personality types to reach certain places. There are people out there that minister in places that I cannot minister. He didn't call me to go there. But they're there. We support a brother over there on Magnolia Avenue. He takes people in, the drug addicts, everything under the sun. He feeds them. He gives them a place to stay. He's got a good ministry. There are issues doctrinally that I don't necessarily fully agree with him on, but I love what he's doing. He's got a good work going, and I pray for him, and I support that work. Now, what you see, you got babies, you know, novices, immature people that if you don't cross all the T's and dot all the I's exactly as they do, they won't have anything to do with you. You'll never get anything done for God like that. I doubt if all of us in here cross all the T's and dot all the I's the same way. I always encourage people to think for yourself. Think for yourself. Brother Hopkins may get up here on Sunday morning and teach you one thing. Then you may hear me get up here and preach something that may be just a little different from what he's taught you. Now, is that a horrible thing, or do you have enough maturity to realize, well, that man's got his opinion, I've got my opinion. You got your opinion, right? And if your opinion is based upon your study and the effort that you put into it, then it's a worthy opinion. I can respect that, right? If you base everything you believe on your emotions and how it makes you feel, I have no respect for that, because that's the kind of churches that we have in the country now. It's all emotional. If they can get you feeling good, you know, some churches style themselves as praise and worship churches. Well, there's nothing wrong with praising and there's nothing wrong with worship. But there's also there's other parts to it too besides just praise and worship, right? In other words, the idea is if when you come to temple, it's not going to be just one shouting, hooping, hollering for an hour and then praise and worship and then go home. And we want people to come in and make them feel good and that's it. No, it's not going to help you. That's not going to help you. You have to deal with the issue. I've been battling issues with health. I've been taking it to God. Things that I don't like. Some of my loved ones, they're not doing real good physically. What do I do? Get mad, cry, throw my rattler out on the floor and quit? Or do I pray about it? I've been listening to a song, and it's a contemporary song. And I'd heard it in time past, but I heard it again the other day, and I guess I've listened to it 10 or 15 times since then. And the title of that song is this, Bow the Knee. How many's ever heard that song? You ought to listen to the lyrics. Bow the Knee. That's quite a remarkable song. It really is. Because what you're doing is giving up control of your life to the Lord, and you're acknowledging his lordship over you. And literally you're saying he's the sovereign. And if God chooses to do something a certain way, who am I to come along and I can't change it. You know, get mad. Kick slats out of my crib. Throw my rattler out on the floor. There's a lot of people in the churches do that. You can always tell when you're dealing with a baby. They may have been in church for 20 or 30 years. But if you can't reason with them, if they won't listen, if there's no meeting, a place to meet, you know, meeting of the minds, where we respect each other, though we don't necessarily agree on everything, but we're willing to work together for the glory of God, and you can't get that out of them, you're dealing with a baby. That's a baby. And a baby has no business trying to lead people. And a baby, you know, they really need to be led themselves. They need to be taught, trained, instructed, cared for, just like babies when you bring them into the world. You have to care for them. Yes, sir. I mean, I don't know how crude to get on something, but what if you've been in here, you're 35, 40 years old, you wouldn't want to be treated like you were when you were 3 months old, would you? You wouldn't want to be in diapers, would you? That would offend you, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would. It would offend your manhood. That's what it would offend. You expect people to respect you. You see what I mean? But a baby, 3-month-old baby, a baby doesn't know anything. It's just a baby. It needs to be taken care of. You have to go out of your way. You got to feed it, wash it, change its diaper. When I was a kid, clotheslines in Knoxville, Tennessee, they had clotheslines. Here we go. I'm taking you back in the past again. Clotheslines all over the place. Do you know what they had on those clotheslines? Diapers. It's easy to tell who had babies. clotheslines were full of diapers. You mean what? You had to wash the diaper? That was long before they had what you go to the store and buy now and pay all that money for them. They washed their diapers. And I don't know if they handed them down from generation to generation. Woo! But in any event, they washed them. You should do a lot of things. A lot of people didn't have dryers. We lived on Beaumont over there. My grandmother and grandfather got a washing machine. First, I suppose it was the first one. How many of you know what a wash tub is? You know what a wash tub is? They wash their clothes in a wash tub. But they got a washing machine. And you know what it was? It was a wringer washer. How many of you know what a wringer washer is? Yeah. You get your finger caught in one? It's easy to mess around and get hurt with them. Oh, yeah. You don't want to get up there real close to those wringers running and get your necktie in that thing, jerk you right into it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wringer washer. That's the way we grew up. That's all right. I'm not complaining. Fact is, I enjoy the fact that I remember some of those things. I remember stuff that happened 60 years ago better than I can what happened yesterday. It's the truth. But, yeah, you could see the clothes on them. Few people didn't. They didn't have dryers. They had little old 60-amp circuit breakers on their house feeding the electrical current to the house. 60 amps. See? Little old box like this, 60 amps. And now, of course, you've got 200, 300, 400-amp boxes out there because you got so much stuff in your house. You need power. Yeah, things have changed a lot. They've changed an awful lot. And God's blessed me. And I've watched it. And I've learned from it. And I've made my mistakes. And your pastor's not perfect. I confess to you tonight that I make mistakes in judgment. I make mistakes. And I'll make more mistakes. I will. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I don't want to, but I do pray this, that I do learn from my mistakes. And God does. You know, I've taken tests. I don't know if this is the way I am. And I'll get 90% of them, 95% of them right, but I'll miss two or three. Do you know what? I remember those that I missed more than the ones I got right. I remember them. I sure do. Do you know why? Because I got it wrong. And it's stuck in my mind. And maybe the way the Lord works with me, He lets me learn when we go through things. How many of you ever been through something and you really learned something in it? Yeah. We've got a good church. And all of my, as far as I'm concerned, this church preaches the truth. We stand on the truth of the Word of God. Amen. I mean, as long as I'm in this world, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not playing games, folks. I'm going to preach the book. I'm going to preach what I believe. I'm going to preach it and go to bed at night with a clear conscience because I've preached what God's called me to do. And I think a lot about the people who started this church. This church was started long before Temple and Powell, you know. So, you know, it's not throwing anything off on those people out there. But if you wonder why we have two temples in Knoxville, well, this one was the first one. And it was started a long time before that one. And these people that started this church, they believed the Bible. They loved the Lord. They did. And, you know, they preached the gospel. They stood on the truth. Who am I to come along now and change that? I don't have a right to do that. I would like to think that all the people that have been in this church for all these years, down through the years, if they could come in here and sit down tonight or Sunday or any other time and listen to what was being preached in this house, they'd be happy. They'd be satisfied that Temple stood through time and stood with the truth. So I confess to you tonight that I make mistakes. I do. And I'm probably one of the biggest mistakes I'll make is in judgment. Mistakes in judgment. I'm not perfect. Phyllis said, me saint, you sinner. Well, I am a sinner, but I'm afraid the one who thinks he's a saint, he's a sinner too. We all are. I need your prayers. Would you pray for me? Please pray for me. I'm asking for prayer. And I'll get on my knees and I'll get God's word and I'll pray and I'll get the message that God wants me to preach. And I'll get up here Sunday, this coming Sunday morning, Lord willing, if I'm here, I'll be up here prepared and ready to preach. That's what I'll do. But folks, I want you all to love each other. I want you to pray for each other. I want you to get along with each other. I want you to get spiritual eyeglasses on and spiritual vision. And don't nitpick each other. I mean, you can nitpick each other to death. This is what the apostle is talking about in Galatians 5. Bite and devour one another. Take heed, you be not consumed one of another. That's what I want for Temple. Like I said a moment ago, right now, at this very moment, while I'm standing before you, there's at least four, maybe five issues that are going on in this church. And some of them are totally unrelated. Totally unrelated. So, you know, I'm not up here tonight trying to tear anybody down or bring conviction on anybody. I'm trying to tell you, there is no such thing as a perfect church. If you love Temple, you'll pull together and you'll pray for each other. You'll support each other. And we'll get through whatever problems we have. And God will open doors for us. And God will bless us. He'll give us souls. And the church will grow. And if you don't necessarily agree with, especially when it comes to eschatology, doctrine of last things, that's what that word means. Greek word eschatos means last. You may not be premillennial. You may not. You may be post or amillennial. That's okay. That's all right if you are. But I hope you respect me. I'm premillennial. I'll respect you if you're not. I have people, folks, that write in to me from all over the world that go to churches that are nothing like this church. But we have the same Christ. And there is that gospel that makes us who we are, and that pulls us together. Our fellowship is in the gospel and the witness of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will witness to Christ. And if we'll preach Christ, the Holy Ghost will be free in this house to do what he wants to do. Amen. Now from my heart, I'm trying my best tonight to just speak to you and prepare you for whatever may come and for whatever lies down the road. And by the grace of God, I'll tell you again tonight, I know pastors, you know some of the biggest names in the country, have had affairs, and they've been in this and into that, and they've hurt a lot of people. And I've told you the other day, I don't know how in the world you don't have fellowship with God when you got something like that going on. I am no hypocrite. What you see is what you get. God's my witness. I'm hiding nothing. What you see is what you get. And I pray that you can support the ministry that I've got here before you tonight. Father, in your name I pray, bless your holy word. In Jesus' name.